KZ4VWA, KZ4TMA.
KZ4TMA, W4DJW. Hey, Simon.
Hey.
I'm playing around with Raspberry Pis and cameras. Building software for a security system. Not 100% dedicated to making that a success, but learning how to capture the stills every other second and move them to a central location and then view them with a package called TCLTK. It's a programming package from years ago that I started using again. Works really good. I can see what's going on all the way around the house playing with, and got enough Pi cameras now where I can tell what's going on and start to maneuver around them. How about you? What you doing today?
Nothing as cool as that. Once again, you made me jealous of your semi-retirement state. You reminded me just now, I overheard a conversation you and Steve had, I don't know, a week or two ago, where you were talking about what a short memory your existing security camera system had and how frustrating it was that, you know, you'd be able to watch whatever was going on outside for a minute, and as soon as it got interesting, it would cut out on you. So, it sounds like you're making a little progress on that. That's good to hear.
Yeah, I got five of them going so far. I'm learning as I go. The first one I bought was a version 1. Second two I bought were version 1 noirs, right? No IR filter. Noir for black for nighttime. Noir is French for black. And they just happen to have no IR filter, so you kind of see in the dark with them because you can see heat. But it helps if you put an IR light on them. So playing around with those. And then I got two more that were version 2. Because that I didn't know existed, which do a whole lot better than the other ones, but they're not the noir versions, but you can still see at night with them. So I'm learning the language and the protocol and just kind of feeling my way around in the dark and trying to find the light switch. And it's starting to find it. I found a dimmer switch, so the lights are starting to come on a little bit. Anyway, I record about 32 gigabytes per day per camera. And then I rsync from those various cameras. Some of them connected with LAN, some of them connected on 2.4 gigahertz connection because they're a long way away on the other side of the house. Some of them connected with 5 gigahertz because they're close enough in I can get the higher bandwidth out of 5 gigahertz for the rsync. And then a central program just to say, show me camera 1, show me camera 2, show me a history of camera 1, a history of camera 2, and build me an MPEG that I can ship somewhere. My wife's up in Boise, Idaho. And she knows I want to replace them. She says, you get me a camera on the front door that can see people walk up to the front door like the Ring camera can, and I'm game for it. So I just now this morning, I put one of them up there on the front door that's got a fisheye view camera, kind of like the Ring camera, so you can see everything. And boy, is it pretty. It's quality, high quality picture, and it'll last as long as you've got disk space to hold.
Meanwhile, I'm over here. Still trying to learn how to organize our family photos on the family home desktop computer. So that's pretty impressive stuff. But yeah, I appreciate what you mean about learning as you go. That sounds kind of fun. I don't know, you got to be careful. You keep bragging about this, and suddenly we're all going to start nagging you to let us hire you to come set them up on our houses.
Well, by that time, I'll be on to something else. By that time, this cold weather will be gone, and Steve and I will be out flying our Blixers. You know what a Blixer is? Have you heard of that?
I'm curious. Yeah, what is it Blixer, B-L-I-X-E-R?
That's it. Back when FPV was popular, before it had FPV as an acronym, FPV stands for first person view. You put goggles on and you fly through a camera in the nose of the airplane, and it does ham radio frequencies back to you. And some people, you know, it can do the cheaper stuff. It's not ham. It's 2.4 gigahertz. But if you want to go any long distance, it's the better stuff. And they've got this program that you can run that gets FAA approval to do that, if you're going to do it or not. And it'll either allow you to do it or it'll say, nope, you can't do it for various reasons, right? For your crossing over, you know, the wrong classification of airspace and that kind of stuff. Or not, you know, anyway. So we've got a couple of these Blixers ordered. That was the airplane that people were using to begin with. They're made out of foam, 100% styrofoam. and they're very, very lightweight. So if they crash, you know, you're not going to hurt anybody, right? You could run it into a kid at wide open throttle and it just bounce off of them. They turn around, look at it and say, what was that? So it's not a dangerous thing like the bigger, heavier model airplanes are. But these things fly really good. They kind of like you just hold them up in your hand over your head and you pour the throttle to it and they just kind of take off out of your hand. And they come back in so slow that you can land them in your hand. So you can put flight controllers and cameras and all that kind of stuff on them. And you're not really risking a whole lot. We're planning on doing that like these French guys are doing that where they follow each other. And they are doing it daytime and nighttime, and they got LEDs glowing in certain configurations on the back, and they do time-lapse photography, and you see a swoosh of a light going, you know, LED in a certain configuration. That makes really beautiful pictures for nighttime photography, pictures and video both. So we'll be on to doing that. Our Blixers are supposed to be here sometime this week. It's a really slow-flying, really lightweight. It's a workbench of an airplane, so you can learn the stuff on a workbench.
Yeah, you answered the question that you raised, which is, does Simon know what a Blixer is? But now I've got like five more questions because this is really interesting. All right, so hold on. First question, if we're made out of foam, I mean, these things, I appreciate the benefit of being light, but at the same time, surely you need to go flying on a day where there is no wind because just about anything could toss this thing around in the air, right?
Well, lightweight is good up to a point. These are EPP foam. EPP is foam that you can squeeze with your fists. You can squeeze it really hard, and you let go of it, and it comes right back to where it was. It's not like styrofoam, right? It's not that. It's not the same thing. It's EPP. So you can bounce it off the ground, and it'll bounce. It's like rubberized styrofoam. It doesn't crumble when you break it. It has. If you hit it hard enough to break it, you get a clean break. And what you do is put some epoxy on the clean break, and you put the two pieces back together. And if you get them lined up just right, and you don't put too much epoxy on it so it doesn't squeeze out the crack, you can never tell it broke. Now, you do enough of those, it starts getting brittle. But anyway, it's a different kind of foam, right? And it is very lightweight. And yes, too much wind will be hard on it. But the opposite of that is an EPP foam airplane that's built to go fast. Like there's another one called a Dolphin. And there's one called a Zod. Those are flying wings. They're a little bit smaller. They don't have as much surface area, so the wind doesn't have quite as much to grab a hold of. But these things will go well over 100 miles an hour. And they can penetrate the wind. Now, will they get bounced up and down? They will, yeah. But does the flight controller kind of absorb that with the control surfaces so it smooths out? Yeah, it does that too. So you're right. That's observant. But there are ways to counteract that. You wouldn't counteract it in the workbench of the airplane. You would counteract it in once you've learned how all the parts work and how they all go together with a different airframe.
You know, that's really helpful. Yeah, I mean, my first thought was just, all right, light is great. I hear you on that. But, of course, light also means you're going to get tossed around by every little gust. But, yeah, I can appreciate that if you're able to get enough speed, then a sudden change in your wind speed by a gust will, relative to the speed you're flying, it's not that big a change anymore. See, I can see how the speed would help. And like you said, if it's low profile, if it doesn't have a large surface area, there's not as much for the wind to grab. So it's really cool. All right, so it sounds like this is a new venture. You said they're coming. They should be here soon. It might be a hard thing to answer briefly, but what have you been flying? I mean, I hear you guys talk about flying every now and then, so if it hadn't been these, what have you guys been flying up to this point? Is there a name for that class that can kind of help me categorize these different types of planes?
Yeah, well, when I first started doing this, I was doing it with multirotors, quads and hex multirotors, four motors and six motors pointed up with gimbals and all that kind of stuff, and using a flight controller to fly them out and fly them back. And you get in trouble, you just hit return to home, and it comes back home. But you fly with goggles, and you can go out with those, and you can, like, kind of stop and look. It's not like an airplane where you got to fly past it. You can kind of stop and focus on something for a little while and then, you know, get bored with that and move on to something else. And then I graduated from multirotors to fixed-wing airplanes with that first-person view gear on it, the camera and the goggles and the what's called a ground station that has several different receivers and transmitters on it, does telemetry transmitting and receiving and video transmitting or video receiving and control signal transmitting. So all kinds of it's like a mini tower sitting there on the ground. They call it a ground station. And I was flying a Tiger Tick. It's an older airplane. It's bigger. It's all balsa wood. It's kind of heavy. It's like a 5 to 7 pound airplane. It's 5 pounds before I put all the stuff on it, 7 pounds after. So you wouldn't want to hit anybody going 80 miles an hour with that airplane, right? It'd do some real damage. And unlike the styrofoam jobs that won't really do a whole lot of damage and don't really cost as much. This one costs quite a bit. All total up cost for the airplane, for the airframe, the high dollar servos. They're not cheap servo motors. The servos in it are $100 a pop, right? More than the cost of the airplane that I've got coming, right? The Blixer is $100 a pop for the whole airplane with the motor, the servos, and everything in it is $100. Whereas the plane I'm flying now that has the flight controller and the goggles and the video, just one servo costs $100. So you want to be careful with that. I'm being very, very careful with that. I've got it flying and it's autonomous and it can go fly a mission, but it's expensive, right? So and Steve's wanting to get into it. So I figured a better way to do it is learn, you know, the school of hard knocks through an airplane that it's not going to cost you several thousand dollars. If it crashes, it's going to cost you $100.
Understood. No, that's really helpful. I have flown a few photography drones. My father has DJI something, you know, just kind of your typical four propellers out on the corners, and those are fun. You know, they're easy. It doesn't take much to learn how to do it. If you crash it, you might be out more like $1,000, but they're easy enough that you're probably not going to crash it. But I'm much more interested in airplanes simply because I grew up doing hobby cars. The idea of building something myself is pretty appealing over just buying an out-of-the-box drone. And I've just always had an interest in flying. So if I could build something myself and get to learn some of the physics of flying and do it cheaper and more safely than throwing myself in an airplane right now, then that's pretty appealing. So I've always enjoyed any time I catch you and Steve talking about this. Tell me this, and I'm sitting here at my destination, but I'd love to hear this one more question. I can't remember where you fly. Where's this airfield? Where do you all go do this?
So there's a lot of airfield, and if you're interested, then we're looking for a fourth pilot we want to do follow-me-following with a radar, and I can explain what that is too. But that means you can see the guy in front of you. You can find the guy in front of you. You can form a chain with links, and you can fly around and film each other as you're flying, which is really cool. But it's at the intersection of Jordan Road and Jug Factory Road. So if you go look at that intersection on Google Maps and you'll look right down the hill to the north and you'll see there's Sloan Airfield in that area. And we fly at that Sloan Airfield. It's got full-scale airplanes, mostly ultralights and microlights, but other, you know, like Cessnas and stuff like that can fly in and out of there. So it's a sanctioned airfield, AMA, Academy of Model Aeronautics. So you got to have insurance to fly there. You got to join up with the AMA, and that's like $100 a year to do that. Then you have to join the club, and that's like $75 a year, and then you can fly there. But the intersection of Jug Factory Road and Jordan Road in, I guess that's Emmon or south of Camp or west of Campobello, east of Greer, around Emmon, that kind of area. But we'd be very interested in recruiting another pilot because we've got what we think we've got three, and we need a fourth one.
Gosh, now you got me. Now you got me thinking. No, I know the area. I will pull that up just out of curiosity to see exactly where you are. I wish I could take you up on that offer to learn from you all and get to come play. Who knows? I might make it out there with you all one day just to watch and something. But I'm in a phase of life with work and kids and an upcoming move. I can't imagine I'd really be able to pull it off and make any kind of time commitment right now. But I will remember that. And if my if my lifestyle makes a change anytime soon, I will check to see if you're still short a pilot. I can, however, still offer at least a Saturday morning sometime if a strong back is ever helpful with that repeater job, link in the Bears Mountain repeater, perhaps. But it's really cool to hear about. All right, I'm here. I better go in. Thanks for shouting back. Yeah, I was trying to catch Steve because I heard him messing around with his new base station this morning. I was wondering if he had fixed some of that interference he was getting from what sounded like a wall ward, I guess. So, but I'll catch him another time. Anyway, thanks for chatting. Really good to chat. Good luck with the cameras. I'll bet you can hear how this all works out. And I look forward to catching you next time. So, I'll see 73s. This is KZ4TMA. I'll be clear after your final. Thanks, Dave.
All right, Simon. Well, good talking to you. And take care out there. Have a good day. I enjoy the conversation. KZ4TMA, W4DJW, clear.